Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I am Mark Lawrence. Across from me is the aforementioned Joe McGranahan, mayor of Shamokin Dam. He's got his mayor's robe on now. He's going to perform a marriage. We were just talking about the various robes that we wear for our part-time.
So we haven't had a promotional picture taken of us since we started the program, what, 10 years ago, 11 years ago?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
So I thought you should bring in your religious robes that you wear when you preach, and right, and I'll bring in my mayor's robe, and we'll take our own picture.
We're all robed up.
All robed up.
Yeah. Okay, well, good. Well, we got some good photographers.
A couple of robes, or is that rogues?
Rogues, yeah. Yeah, I like that. That's better. So, and then at the middle of the show, we'll disrobe.
Well, let's not get that far away.
There's no reason people shouldn't be tortured, so.
That would be absolute torture.
All right. Well, welcome on board, everybody. It is Monday. It is April 8th, 2019. What happened in March is still a mystery to me, but it is April.
Of course, it went on through. It marched right on through.
Lent is almost over. We're two-thirds of the way through Lent, so that's happening. You'll be back to chocolate or swearing or wine or whatever you gave up. You'll be back to it soon, so hang in there shortly.
That was it. Chocolate, swearing, and wine.
Yeah, that's what you gave all three. Yeah, boy, you must be struggling during the week.
I can hardly wait to say something besides darn.
Well, I don't swear that much, and I don't drink a lot of wine, but I would miss my chocolate. All right, so welcome on board, everybody. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. You can check them out at sunburymotors.com. And I want to tell you, I want to be elaborative about them in the On the Mark show. They are our umbrella sponsor, which means you can go to either the North 4th Street Shopping Plaza area in Sunbury. We see all the cars on both sides of the street there, plus the body shop is nearby. The car wash is over by Packer Street, and you can say hi to them and say thank them for sponsoring the On the Mark show. Or you can go over to Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Maybe Austin or Ernie will help you out there. And they got some other people, too. And they're very excited. They got the new Telluride there. And boy, they had one. They might have sold it, but it was a Telluride. That's, of course, all-wheel drive. This new sedan that is just perfect. It's got all-wheel drive, great gasoline mileage, super sharp looking. I would think it was like a charcoal gray would be how I'd describe the color. But boy, that looks like a nice vehicle. But that's what you can do. You can thank them for sponsoring the On the Mark show. You can look at some of the newest vehicles they've got coming out. That's the Kia Telluride. But Ford's got some new stuff, plus the whole E-Class, all the way from the Escape up to the great big Excursion, or maybe it's the F-Series or the new Ford Ranger. Hyundai, of course, they got a wide range of vehicles, Kia, and Lincoln cars and trucks. I see more Lincoln Navigators out there. More people say, I want a big all-wheel drive SUV, but I want it to ride like a dream. Well, I am sorry. Lincoln is what you're talking about in that situation. So please check them all out. SunburyMotors.com. They got tons of pre-owned vehicles. So you name it, they can super serve anybody out there at the Sunbury Motor Company, and they take good care of our sponsorship of the On the Mark as well. The Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. Toll-free line sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trotz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. And again, that number open now, 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236, and we'll talk about the Text Connect system a little bit later on, but basically allows us to connect to you in a hurry, but it allows you to connect with us, and lots of people like to text connect us during the show. That's a non-emergency message when you send us a message. I mean, it could be an emergency, I suppose, but usually people are just telling us good information. Like Kevin Herr sent us a text connect message after I said Northumberland's all clear, and he said, actually, there's still some slowing here. So
Kevin didn't give up cursing, so I suspect
well,
there's
funny
something
you would
similar.
Say that. He said, I was going to give up swearing for Lent, but trouble is I have to drive through Norrie every day. So he couldn't do cursing.
Believe me, I've known Kevin for a lot of years. He's never been that mild-mannered.
Yeah, I don't think of him as a wine drinker, much a chocolate eater, but either. So, but nonetheless, yes. So Kevin, so thanks for the update. Yeah, traffic's still slow. That's about a, I'd say, 4 or 5 block wait, but it's dark black on the Google traffic, which means it ain't moving. So you're probably stuck there, and I bet the Prince Street escape is blocked, too, so folks can't get out of that. So, yeah, Norrie. Norrie Borough Council meets tonight at 7 o'clock. It's a moved meeting, and I would venture a guess because of the chaos that
a
we had.
A moved meeting?
Well, it was moved from last week.
Oh, okay.
I would venture a guess you will have some members of the public there. The trouble is in Norrie, you know, Queen Street is blocked, Front Street, Water Street, Duke Street. I don't know that doing all of these streets all at the same time is ideal. You know, we're just you just can't get anywhere. Like, if you want to go to the post office in the middle of the Friday afternoon, I just parked down by the bank, which is only a block away or so, and just walked in because you couldn't get through, and there was a truck, and the police wisely were stopping a truck that was ignoring the posted detour. And
well, did they have to close Queen Street? I mean,
think
you're a lifelong resident over there.
Well, they don't have to yet. I think they did it because people were using it as the de facto detour, and so it was clogged with trucks and cars all day long. So my impression, and again, Lawrence, they call it Lawrence's worthless wisdom for a reason. I think that's why they closed it, because people were using it as the de facto detour.
I think that is actually the case, yes.
That is it. Okay,
yes.
Good. All right. So
because there's not the detour, and trucks are going through that way, and they can't make that turn because of the construction on Water
They're
Street.
Stuck.
Yeah.
But they still have, you can go across the White Bridge from down there, can't you?
Right, if you want to go south on 11.
But they have the intersection blocked. The turning lane is blocked.
Right.
Correct.
So
you can't turn left onto Water Street, correct.
Well, why not? if you want to go across.
Because there's no way to go north if you go left there. If you do, then you end up in Shamokin Dam.
Well, then you put, right, well, that's where I lived, so that's where I was headed.
Yeah, that's
true.
They solved one problem and created another one. So now if you want to go all the way around, you know, in a Shamokin Dam like Joe wants, you have to go around the detour through Northumberland, back down Front Street, through the intersection of King Street, back to Water Street again, and then head out. And
well, it seems to me they could have solved the problem with a sign that said no northbound traffic.
No. Signs won't do
it. Yeah, people don't read the signs.
People don't read any signs.
Nope. Well, people try to turn left there where the road is blocked off when you're turning onto Water Street. People are turning left there despite the fact there are two signs that say you shouldn't.
Well, then the worst thing that happened is they wind up in Shamokin Dam and they have to start all over again going through Sunbury.
People don't like that. You know, people are trying to back up on Water Street and it's a mess. Or they're taking the alleys, which isn't the end of the world, but they drive so darn fast. They say, oh my gosh, this is a connector to Queen. And phew.
I would like to see a tractor trailer make the turn onto Wheatley Avenue.
Oh, wouldn't work. I mean, just couldn't do it.
No.
It'd be an impossibility.
Well, and this is going to go on until when, July?
Yeah, I think July is the end of the Queen Street closure.
Okay.
So.
And then by that time, there'll be two lanes open on the bridge coming under the railroad underpass, but you won't be able to use it because they've got the street dug up.
No, there'll be two lanes coming in and out. Water Street should be done at that point. On both sides should be finished by then.
Well, I hate to wish my life away, but
it'll be nice when it's over.
It'll be nice when it's done, yeah.
Well, yeah, and you got a lot of time to think about your life while you're driving through Norrie.
Oh, yeah. Well, a lot of time for introspection.
There has been an eye-opener for old Lawrence, and this is, you know, we've talked about this, how the sales department has trouble. There's a certain segment of the population, it's about 10% of the people, who our advertising department will tell you they have trouble reaching. You know, they know they listen to a little bit of radio, they don't read the newspaper, and they don't participate in a lot of, you know, sort of daily conversations with people in the know. There's people driving through Norrie who encounter the detour signs who are saying, what's happening? What's up? All right? But they don't read the signs. They don't pay attention. They don't, or maybe the signs are vague and, you know, aren't adequate. I'm not sure. And they get to the intersection of, you know, maybe King and Water, And they're like, oh, my gosh, what do I do next? You know, where do I go? How do I get home? Or I want to go north. And they have no idea what's going on or how to do it. They haven't been paying attention. We've tried to keep people posted here and keep PennDOT folks informed. The newspapers followed this to a certain extent, but you still have a segment of the population. You know, maybe they're listening to satellite radio or something. They get to Norrie, they don't read the signs, and suddenly they get to the road they want to go on is closed, and they have no idea what to do. You know, and they end up going to Shamokin Dam. Not that that's the end of the world.
Well, I thank you for that.
But, you know, that's not their intended target.
We're always glad to have people in Shamokin Dam, regardless of why they came.
But some of these signs, you could put a sign on one of these flashing PennDOT signs, like the ones that say no trucks, that the trucks would drive right by. You could put in there, free money on Baldwin Boulevard in Shamokin Dam, and no one will show up at your house because they don't read them.
I've seen that. I get a graphic example of that almost every day of traffic coming down at the Baldwin Boulevard intersection where there are five signs saying no turns, and yet they get in there and turn.
They want to get through the cones.
Well, they want to avoid getting stuck on the bridge and having to go around that loop to get down onto 11 and 15. Mm-hmm. So they come down the Baldwin Boulevard exit and hang a left when there's no left turns there. Or they pull into the shopping center and do a U-ey.
Well, when they add yet another unnecessary traffic light at that intersection, will you be able to turn left there?
There won't be any need because at that point the bypass will be done.
Oh, yeah. So you think no one's going to come down there and turn left again as long as
Actually,
we both shall live?
Probably the traffic will be directed. One of the PennDOT plans, and I don't know whether they've changed it yet or not, would be that all traffic coming from Sunbury that's going to Shamokin Dam, whether it's left, right, or headed toward Lewisburg, would come down to the T intersection and make a turn there. So. That I'm not in favor of that, but that may be what they wind up doing.
Okay. Well, yeah, no, I like the way it is now. That's a good system.
Yep.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. Lawrence's vent about Norrie traffic is over. You can call in right now, 1-800-795-9565, if you want to talk about that. We're enjoying open phones. I mentioned the borough council meetings tonight in North Elmwood. Maybe you'd like to voice an observation about traffic or the borough now. 1-800-795-9565. We have Kirsten Nielsen, no longer in office as Homeland Security Secretary in Washington. So there's a big change in leadership there.
And Al Sharpton calling for reparations, and the little Democratic presidential candidates following right along, quacking right behind Mama Duck.
Should we pay reparations or come up with some form of reparations, it wouldn't have to be payment, to African Americans in the United States for those who are currently alive?
For slavery. Which ended in, 1865.
So 150 million years later.
Well, if we're going to give reparations to black people for slavery, let's give them to Irish and Italians for the way they were treated here in this country when they came over.
Jews were mistreated.
Catholics
occasionally.
Let's give everybody some money. What do you say?
And,
be a good Democrat and get elected. We're going to give you all money.
Somebody texts us from the traffic line and says, I want reparations for Northumberland travelers. There you go.
There. Now, that one I could get behind.
Sue for some compensation. Well, Kevin gets paid about $60 an hour when he's here, so he spends an hour in Norrie traffic every day. Somebody's going to have to pay. All right. 1-800-795-9565. We'll take all comers. 1-800-795-9565. We'll be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back. WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the mark. 1-800-795-9565 is the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. So we invite you to call in. Oh, this is good music. Good bumper music here. Thank you, Rob. We got a caller who's standing by. Bobby D., go right ahead.
Yes, good morning, everyone. Did you ever wonder why Easter Sunday varies from time to time? I mean, varies every year. I mean, we have, you know, we have Christmas, we have July 4th, we have all that. And, of course, I was working up in Scranton at the time, and there was an article why, you know, Easter Sunday changes. It's because it's the first, okay, the vernal equinox, being the spring, you know, as far as the spring season, and it's the Passover moon, and it's a full moon, and so it's the first Sunday after the equinox, after that full moon.
So first comes the vernal equinox, then the first full moon, and then the first Sunday, and that starts Lent.
No, I mean that's how they determine Easter.
Oh, okay. Then you just go back 6 weeks, and there's the start of Lent. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I never knew that before. And of course, all the years, we have East. No matter which, I'm going to say, religious background. And of course, we all live by the same calendar. And I guess when the calendar, like January, February, March, April, maybe the Caesar calendar or whatever, and then the Gregorian calendar and that. And I always wondered why. I said, well, why does Easter change every year? And that's why.
I gotcha. All right. Well, noted. Thank you, Bobby. Sound information. Good help. All right. We appreciate that. Stan, you are next up. Good morning. You are on the mark.
Good morning. Reparations. When Reverend Al can come up with an actual living person that was a slave in 1863 or before, I will be all for giving that person reparations for what he went through. Or they went through, whether man, woman, child, I don't care. When that happens, yeah, give them reparations. But anybody else? Oh, well, I didn't cause slavery. I wasn't involved in slavery. My parents weren't involved in slavery, and my grandparents. So why on earth should anybody be responsible for that?
Well, I agree.
I mean, it ended a long time ago, over 100 years ago.
What's sad about this is that most of the 2020 contenders, often prompted by Sharpton himself, affirmed their support for a bill introduced in Congress that would create a commission to study reparations for African Americans. And Senator Kamala Harris said, when I'm elected president, I will sign that bill. And, of course, she got raucous applause for that. Harris also pledged double the size of the Civil Rights Division. Bernie Sanders said he would sign it. I mean, most of them said they would sign that bill. And, there are a lot
of
people.
They're just a bunch of pandering fools.
Well, there are many groups that have been terribly discriminated against when they came to this country. The Irish, the Italians.
Chinese.
I mean, during World War II, we interned the Japanese. And it's sad. It's unfortunate. And we need to apologize, although I don't know how we apologize for slavery. We didn't create it, but we did take part in it. It wasn't like we created it.
It's water under the bridge. It's history. I mean, you got to live and learn by it, but you can't pay for it. I mean, how are you going to pay? Who are you going to pay? Who do they expect to get the money? Because the actual people that were affected by it are no longer with us. They're going to go get a mason jar, fill it up with some dollars, put it in, take it to the graves of these slaves, and give it to them. Go here. There's your reparation. Now what?
Well, I would think the only
none
way.
None of it makes sense.
Well, the only way it would make any sense at all is if you had to prove that your ancestors were in slavery. That would be the only way I could see that it would have any connection to today at all. And that's a tenuous one, I agree.
To what end?
Well, I agree.
To what end?
I think the end is everybody loves free stuff. And if the Democrats can give away money to get votes, they'll do it.
Yeah, they're just, they pander. Every day you turn on the news and you listen to anything they say, they're just pandering to whatever group they're in front of that day. We're going to give you this, we're going to give you that. We're going to take it from somebody else to give it to you. And, the rich are going to have to pay for it. They're not paying their fair share and blah, 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 blah. I'm a little sick and tired of hearing it. So some days I don't turn much on.
Well, what about, let's face it. There are a lot of people who are in this country today who weren't here, obviously, during slavery, and their ancestors weren't here during slavery. Should they have to pay?
Absolutely. Now, now there you go. Okay, we got all these illegals crossing the border. Maybe we need to make them pay. You know, they're already committing crimes. So hey, let's put a little more on them, and maybe that'll chase some of them out too. Yeah, there's one way we could possibly stop that. Make them, you know, that's their fee to come into the country, $10,000 a piece for reparations to the, you know, past slaves.
Well, what would be a what are the reparations that they're seeking? You know, if they would like to have African Americans receive equal. To somehow be able to, I guess, make it easier for them to enjoy some of the equality that they have, I think it could be worth considering, because we know that African Americans often, well, throughout the U.S., don't enjoy the same educational results. I'm not going to say they don't have the same opportunity, because Joe will say, of course, they have the same opportunity, but they don't enjoy the same outcomes when it comes to medical care or infant mortality. I mean, there still is a significant poverty class
that is really dominated. I don't understand why that is. And what areas of the country is that happening? Is it happening in the big cities, or is it happening out in the rural areas? Where is it happening? Because if it's happening in the big city, I know who's in control of most of the big cities. So why does that happen?
Well, yeah, that's a good thing. That would be for you to research and to find out, you know, why is it that African Americans today still don't enjoy the same quality of life or standard of living that we do? That's excellent point. It's got,
and
that
who,
question's got to be answered.
And who says that they're not, actually? I mean, they tell us we're not, and I don't know. I mean, I don't, you know, personally, I'm not responsible for anybody being downtrodden. You know, and if they're downtrodden in certain areas of this country, those people need to stand up and say, hey, what are you doing to us? You know, look at Chicago. Who runs Chicago? New York City. Who runs that? Out in California. Who runs that? You know, who runs those big cities and stuff? We all know the answer to it.
We do, but I don't hear Mark.
It's been like that for, you know, decades.
You're not voicing it, you know, in case anybody doubts what you mean or has a question about what you mean.
You say Democrats control all of this? I don't think...
They control California, Chicago,
New York.
Right.
No, I'm familiar with that. But I don't think the reparations issue is a Republican-Democrat thing. I think this is sort of a national issue that African-Americans as a whole, and Al Sharpton as their self-appointed leader, say that it may be maybe time for some more equal opportunity programs or something.
I wonder what Tawana Brawley and the cops think about Al Sharpton. Just saying. I mean, that's just, you know, that's, you know, to call him a leader of anything is kind of a joke, in my opinion. But
it was his group. Yeah. We'll read this whole clipping. I think you'll find it interesting, albeit a little bit irritating, Stan. We'll read more of this clipping that Joe found. And it came from a source you wouldn't expect him to have searched, but that's where he did find it. So, all right. Thank you, Stan. Thanks for calling.
Right,
really appreciate it. Read the first paragraph.
All right.
And the source is MSNBC, correct?
Yes, it is. Okay. That's where I found. Well, I heard the story.
Yeah, start at the beginning.
On Fox, and I heard it on CNN.
On TV.
They covered, right. They covered the thing at Sharpton's event, but they didn't delve into it in great detail as MSNBC did. A slew of Democratic candidates hoping to challenge President Donald Trump for the White House spelled out their views on racial justice Friday in progressive campaign pitches to crowds at Al Sharpton's National Action Network convention. Nearly all of the 15-plus Democrats who have launched campaigns in the 2020 election showed up to the Civil Rights Organization's annual conference this week in a Sheraton Hotel ballroom in Manhattan's Times Square. Eight of them gave speeches on Friday, including Representative Tim Ryan, a Democrat of Ohio, who had just announced his campaign a day earlier. The predominant themes of their remarks mirrored the NAN's own stated priorities, particularly reforming the criminal current impacts of racism in America, at the top of their mind. And most of the contenders, often prompted by Sharpton himself, affirmed their support for a bill introduced in Congress that would create a commission to study reparations for African Americans.
Okay. Well, but the haves are going to call us and say the have-nots are just going to have to stand down because they have everything they need.
Well, you know, what would the reparations, what form would they take? The form of money, which I think is what Sharpton's pushing for, that we just give everybody money. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you were going to do reparations, I think you'd have to decide what the harm done was several generations later and what might be appropriate to address that harm.
But it could be a conversation. Do you favor having that conversation? I think some people say no conversation is necessary. Al Sharpton says, yes, it's necessary and we want results. What do you say?
I say that if we're going to do that, then we need to take every group that was ever put upon here in America and throw them into the mix as well.
Particularly, or maybe, scratch that, not particularly, only if they still suffer setbacks from it. You know, in other words, if we can say that slavery led to racial injustice and the same prejudice and racism that we experience today. Likewise, we can say Irish Americans, like your grandparents.
And the Chinese were particularly discriminated against on the West Coast after they very badly for a number of years. And if we're going to start handing out reparations, where do we draw the line?
Other than African Americans, is there anyone today who's still suffering significantly because of the nation's past?
Well, because of the past? No, I don't think so.
All right.
But we have some people suffering today.
To be continued. Oh, you're listening to News Radio 1070 WDK. Okay, Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Welcome back. WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark, 1-800-795-9565. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. If you are a Text Connect member, just reply to a previous message or start up a new one at 70236. If you're not, you can sign up for Text Connect at wkok.com. It's an opportunity for us to send you a few emergency messages a month. Not emergency, scratch that. These are news bulletins, national or local bulletins, closed roads, major roads, tornadic weather, weather warnings, that kind of thing, dead celebrities, you name it. We keep you informed that way. We don't send you any ads. So we don't sell your phone number to anybody. It's just our way of telling you that we've just posted something at WKOK.com that may interest you. If it does, click on the link. If you don't, if it doesn't, then you can just ignore it and say, oh, those guys, they think this is important. I don't. And ignore us still further. So that's what Text Connect is all about. Some very brief news headlines. A fire Sunday evening resulted in $30,000 damage to a trailer in Snyder County. DHNL Fire Company tells us volunteers sent to number 12 White Block Studio Road in Penn Township. The fire started in the furnace and spread under the trailer. It took about 2 hours till everybody was finished at the scene. A family of two is being aided by family members. Volunteers from DHNL had help from Freeburg, Hummelsworf, Shamokin Dam, Middleburg, and Kramer. A man has been sentenced to 3 to 6 years in prison on charges related to a game of Russian roulette that killed another man in North Central Pennsylvania. 55-year-old Randy Hill was sentenced last week after pleading guilty in Clinton County to reckless endangering and drug counts and no contest to a firearms charge. Authorities say Hill was charged after the death of 42-year-old Robert Ronald Litz Jr., who shot himself in the head May 19th as the two were playing Russian roulette last year in the Lock Haven apartment where they lived. Hill wasn't charged in the death, but the endangering account accused him of handing Litz a loaded firearm. Prosecutors say the two had been drinking when Litz decided he wanted to play Russian roulette. And while Joe doesn't believe in it, Governor Tom Wolf does. He supports allowing his administration to formally study a petition that calls for Pennsylvania to impose a cap-and-trade program to make Pennsylvania carbon neutral by 2052. Friday's statement by Wolf's office, however, says the Democrat isn't taking the position on the petition itself. The roughly 400-page petition is scheduled for a preliminary vote April 16th in front of a 20-member environmental rulemaking board that includes several Wolf appointees. A positive vote would allow Wolf's Department of Environmental Protection to study it and decide whether to recommend it for rulemaking process, which would require another vote. A coalition of business associations is urging board members to take no action until they've studied its implications for the Pennsylvania economy. The petition seeks to require polluters to buy permits for each ton of carbon they release. So that could further alter the nuclear power argument that we've had here since, despite the fact of significant security and risk factors, nuclear power is carbon-free. 1-800-795-9565. One of our listeners sent us a text about traffic, and Paul called in about traffic. Paul lives, I believe, in either Norrie or Point Township. Paul, you're on the mark.
Okay. The only thing that I haven't been able to figure out is what is going to be the future of this traffic once everything is done. In 1949, or I should say in 48, right after the war, Sunbury had all kinds of people and farmers and gardeners. The streets were filled with people. And then all of a sudden, somebody got the idea that what we ought to do is we ought to be able to get more money out of these people, so let's put something in that we can do it with. What do you think they did?
What?
They put parking meters in.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And when they put parking meters in, the farmers stopped coming. The people said that they were sick and tired of trying to beat the meter before it got a ticket.
Well, the whole idea back in those days, Paul, was to create traffic turnover in the downtown so more people could come in and shop.
That may be true, Joe, but nobody is looking for the future. And this is what happened down in the South when they decided to put in the superhighway of Route 66. All those stores that were along Route 66 went bankrupt because now the traffic no longer goes through their town. And what's going to happen to this area? Now, you say it's going to bring people in. Well, if it's going to bring people in and you don't have businesses or you don't have an economy, you don't have an industry, so what's going to keep them here? Because you're going to have the same problems that you have now. But the only difference is that you are figuring on these people staying here and supporting the towns by paying the taxes that eventually will go up. And this is what happened after we had a merger. Northumberland is going to be a rural district of Sunbury. And if you don't think it's true, look at what it is. Look what Sunbury has already done to Northumberland. I counted 7 stores in downtown Sunbury on Market Street that went out of business, and that's just recently. Now, Northumberland has over 100 parking meters, but they don't have any business. Why is that?
Well, I don't think Northumberland, you know, in all honesty, I park in Northumberland every week at a metered intersection, and sometimes the meters are dead, and they'll be dead for a couple of weeks. Nobody comes around, you know, so I don't think it's terribly aggressively enforced. I could be wrong on that. I'm only citing my own personal knowledge from one particular area. But basically, traffic or parking meters do serve a useful function. And I don't think people are going to abandon Northumberland or Sunbury or Shamokin Dam just because the roads are built. I think it's going to encourage people to do more traveling, more shopping, moving out of their areas, moving around a little bit, and taking advantage of other opportunities in the area without having to worry about tractor-trailer trucks running up behind them.
Joe, I was stationed in Grand Forks, North Dakota, and in the whole state of North Dakota, there is not one parking meter. Not one parking meter. And all because a farmer got a ticket in Bismarck. And he went to the police station and said, "Do you want my money?" He said, "Or do you want my business?" And the guy said, "Just give me the $5 for the ticket." He said, "Okay." So he organized the farmers that usually used Bismarck as a business, and they took that out of state. And all of a sudden, Bismarck started losing people and business and opportunities. And finally, they just said, "Well, we can't support ourselves this way, so let's take the damn parking meters out." And they did. And they only allowed a limited time parking. But no parking meters can you find.
Hmm.
And if you don't believe it, check it through Google and find out how many parking meters are in North Dakota.
We try to deploy only conventional wisdom around here, so we're not going to do that. We need the money. Even if it kills us.
Well, if you need the money, then I hope you got enough to get it your way or buy your way out of hell.
All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. 1-800-795-9565. Another listener on the topic of Nori traffic says, Northumberland traffic woes. We had a gathering at our home in Point Township in mid-March, and everyone coming from the south, the Harrisburg, York area, et cetera, were earnestly trying to follow the detour signs. We had warned them, but there were so many detour signs for so many roads, none of them could work their way through Northumberland. All of them gave up, turned around, came up Route 15 to Lewisburg, then came back down Route 147. We also have a business on Wheatley Avenue, and someone has to leave the office and meet tractor trailer deliveries at a point outside Northumberland because they can't get to us. Frustrating.
Incidentally, North Dakota is considering eliminating its ban on parking meters, and some on private property and at some of the state's universities, there are parking meters.
Okay, so there's your update on that. Now, earlier today, we talked about the Reverend Al Sharpton had a convention, and nearly all of the Democratic candidates were there talking about the topic of, among other things, reparations, this idea that slavery was so egregious when it ended in the 1860s, that individuals of color still suffer today, whether it's racism or opportunity or maybe what seems like a discrepancy in medical care, okay, or medical opportunities, we'll call it. So reparations might be necessary. Should we even have a reparations conversation? We'll put that question to Mike. Good morning, Mike from Bloomsburg. Thank you for always calling in. You are on the mark.
Yeah, you are. I just wanted to talk about my personal perspective on reparations. And I want to start by saying that probably my favorite uncle, who had an eighth grade education, he told me the great equalizer is education. He says, it doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, if you have the education, that puts you in a different standing than the people that don't, okay? And that's what I believe. And from my point of view, I attended Bloomsburg State College in the early 70s. And from what I remember, there was one black student there. I think he was on the basketball team. Now, if you were to walk over on that campus at any particular time of day, compared to what it used to be, and I'm not saying this is a racist or anything, but you would think you were in a major city somewhere, because there are so many people of color, and not just blacks, from all over the world, different colors. And that is wonderful, and it's great. But my issue is, I think we're losing the black community, many of them, before they get to the college level. Okay, so a lot of kids can get in college because of their education. Some get in there because of their athletic ability and what have you. But I think if you lose the students academically in elementary school and junior high school, they tend not to get caught up. And it doesn't matter what color people are. And I think as far as reparations, there was definitely damage done to the black family. And people might scoff at me by saying, I think that the psychological aspects of that could be still felt in families to this day. But I believe that's true. But I don't know, that has to be fixed on a personal level. But I think what really has to be done is we need to value education, and we need to have a culture that values education. And the best way to have a culture that values education is to have intact families. I think the disintegration of the family, whether it be Caucasians or blacks or anybody, puts the most stress on the children, and we see that in the classroom. And I think that's where the repairs need to be made, not reparations.
So education is one factor. Higher education has to be tied to that. But what about individuals who don't want to go to higher education? Is it just a whole sort of adulthood preparation, whether it's a career that you're going into or, a family business or something like that? Does racism or it isn't even a lack of opportunity, sort of an institutional bias, does that still exist in the U.S.? A lot of people are going to call the show and say no, that all the playing fields are level now. So
well, the playing fields are becoming level, but things don't change overnight. You know, I have a multiracial family myself, and if I went back 60 years and I lived in a multiracial family, people would be looking at me, kids would not want to be playing with my kids and what have you. But now, my kids played with all the kids, and there really was only a couple of problems that I knew of. And now that I have grandchildren that are biracial, they just blend in. The world is different. See, in my mind, the perspective of people of our age is so much different than the younger people. And right now, the United States, I believe, has the possibility to really change the future. And that's by starting with cultural changes, not necessarily reparations. I think we have a lot of reparations programs in place already. If you look at the ability for people of color to get in academic institutions right now, everything is available. And I understand what you're saying. I believe it was a basketball coach at Notre Dame was talking about the women's coach was talking about why aren't there more women coaching women's team. And her position was, well, people like to hire people that look like them. And you know, I think human nature, that's probably true, and it is true. But education levels the playing field. And when it comes to jobs, if you're a tradesperson, if you can do the work, you can get the job. It's All right. just a matter of not giving up.
All right. Thank you so much,
Good points.
Mike. Really
Thanks,
appreciate
Mike.
The
appreciate
call.
Appreciate your call.
Cindy, stand by. We got to take a quickie break. We'll be right back.
Hometown, such a warm and friendly word, a place of comfort, confidence, and friendship. And as the song goes, everybody knows your name. In today's culture of fast food service and big box mentality, it's nice to know that we can still rely on the warm and friendly comfort of Hometown Pharmacy. There's one near you, friendly, knowledgeable staff that not only know you by name, but know your meds and know what's best for you, right down to the over-the-counter meds for those quick day-in, day-out situations that may arise. Your Hometown Pharmacy. That hometown feel that we all want. Hometown pharmacies, like the Lewisburg Pharmacy, North 2nd Street, Lewisburg. Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Route 35, Mount Pleasant Mills. In Mifflinburg, it's Trutz Pharmacy on Chestnut Street. Bloomsburg, it's the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop on Market Street. And the Norrie Pharmacy, Duke Street, Northumberland. Your hometown is calling you. Your independent hometown pharmacy. Every season, every day.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. 1-800-795-9565 is the number that Cindy dialed. Good morning. You're on the mark.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Before I'm willing to discuss reparations, I think we have to address the people that we hold in captivity even today. And I'm talking about the Native Americans. If there's any group of people that this country rose up stepping on them, crushing them, destroying them, it's the Native Americans. And while some of them have risen above what's happened to them, many have not. For example, the Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota has 80% unemployment. 40,000 people live there, largely without running water and electricity. Now, I find that totally unacceptable. And they're under the control of the Bureau of Indian Affairs, where their hospital was teetering on being closed because of gross mismanagement by the Bureau of Indian Affairs. Not one child makes reading or math standards, not one, in the schools that the Bureau of Indian Affairs runs. And they're not unique. There's a reservation at the bottom of the Grand Canyon where their K-8 school has just three teachers run. I mean, it's just gross mismanagement by the federal government. So before we consider paying people for wrongs that are centuries old, I think we need to address the problems that we see right now in our society.
Okay. That's a fabulous analogy because it speaks to precisely what Joe and I kind of honed in on. If you're going to pay reparations, it has to be somebody who was significantly hurt by sort of the American movement or American culture decades ago and is still significantly hurting today. And
right.
so, of course, that qualifies. Who else? Somebody may say African Americans may not even qualify as significantly as to the same extent that Native Americans would. So, you know,
I don't see where government policy. It wasn't actually government policy that enslaved the black people. It was actually, it was the government in Africa. It turns out that there were kings in Africa who gathered up these people and sold them into the slavers. Reprehensible. They did this to each other. Was it understandable or acceptable that our ancestors or some people's ancestors behaved in this fashion? No. But the bottom line is that that is centuries ago, and no one here, to the best of my knowledge, continues to enslave black people. On the other hand, the federal government, does misuse and abuse the treaties and the Native Americans, even to this day. And that's what's wrong, in my mind.
But does our body politic still discriminate today, sort of our whole government and our whole society?
Believe they do against Native Americans. Yes.
Well, yeah, definitely.
Deliberately. For example, in approving the Keystone XL pipeline, they ignored the treaties that gave the Native Americans sovereignty over their land. You know, they had no right to do that. Our ancestors, our government made promises to people and then threw those promises in the trash. Not for any gain, frankly, of our government, because the company building that is a foreign company.
So,
well, they have recourse to the legal system if they feel they've been abused. You know, the question
is... No, that's almost laughable. You know, the FERC has put in place a policy that says that once they decide to do this, they can do it to you, and then you can fight in court
right.
that it was wrong.
That's eminent domain.
This is
right,
like saying, well, you can go ahead and rape the woman, and then we'll talk about this, the propriety of doing it later, when the damage is done, the destruction has been wrought, and the pipe is in the lung. You know, that's just laughable.
Well, but still, there is legal recourse, and I think let's just put the pipeline issue aside. You know, I don't think we don't require Native Americans to live on reservations. They are free to come and go. You know, they are given that land, and granted, we messed around with them so terribly over the years. We gave them one piece of land, then we found something on it we wanted. We shoved them out and gave them another piece of land. Well, finally, we put them in places where they probably can't succeed no matter how hard they work.
Well,
there you go.
Well,
remain there, trapped there, largely, Joe.
But
they don't have vehicles. It's 70 miles to a grocery store at Pine Ridge. 70 miles. To a grocery store. Can you imagine that? To buy groceries, you'd have to drive farther than State College one way to get groceries. I mean, and this is all government policy. They continue to rule over the people of that reservation.
But because they want to try to maintain their culture and their heritage.
They're
but
allowed to do that without
are.
The federal government interfering with the functions in that. In
but if they chose
the
to
money.
Assimilate into society as a whole, there's nothing that would stop them.
That's a good one. Oh my gosh.
Oh, there isn't. Oh, they're not required to live. They're not prisoners there.
I can't have this conversation because Rob's going to have to push the buzzer.
There are not prisoners there, Cindy. Well, she left.
She's done. Well, you really have to listen a little bit more. I don't think you're hearing. One of our listeners who says absolutely no to reparations says, my grandmother says your wound is probably not your fault, but healing is your responsibility.
Your healing is your responsibility.
Right. So, okay, so if you're a Native American at Pine Ridge and you don't have adequate education, there's not a good health care system there, and, of course, you don't have a grocery store anywhere. That is a wound that inflicts you, but healing that wound is your fault. You need to somehow will a store and a better teacher and a better classroom and a better education and a better hospital, right? That's what Buzz is saying, right? You have to will yourself to have these things that have been denied you.
I think you're misconstruing what I'm saying. I'm just saying that, yes, we have terribly mistreated Native Americans. Yes, we have given them land that's worthless, basically.
Mm-hmm.
We've allowed them to live there without all the necessary things for success in mm-hmm. living. That's on us. That's not on them.
Okay.
But they don't have to stay there. You know, they can leave if they physically have the means to leave.
Okay. So you've been granted a wonderful opportunity to stay intact and to keep your native...
your culture.
Your culture together. But if you do so, you will suffer significantly and you won't want to because it makes it so miserable on you to this very day.
How do we solve that problem? Do we solve that with reparations?
Well,
I'm willing to concede right up front that we've treated them terribly, horribly,
okay.
You know, and we deserve all the condemnation we can get for the way we've treated our Native Americans.
Right,
but
well, this is
now,
the,
how do we solve the problem? And is it the same problem with blacks?
So then this leads us all the way back around to where I began and where Cindy began. If we're going to talk about reparations, we have to decide for whom reparations may be deserved. If it's Native Americans, then we start the conversation. Then we start to identify. Let's suppose you took Pine Ridge and somehow the society as a whole, you obviously can't just leave it to the government. That won't work. But the society as a whole has to examine, well, what equal opportunities do individuals in the U.S. enjoy? Well, most of them have access to health care and fresh produce and, fresh produce within X number of miles, so nearby, really. I see people walking across the bridge from Sunbury with groceries, so it's possible to carry groceries a short distance. So you have to say, well, what are the opportunities that the society as a whole thinks are important? How can we replicate that for individuals? Maybe, as you suggest, maybe moving would be an idea, but maybe helping to create an opportunity. Maybe the society should weigh in on helping to create an opportunity. Again, you can't just leave it to the government because we know they're not going to be able to do it.
Let's look at what Al Sharpton and his group are calling for. They're not even mentioning Native Americans. The only bill they're concerned about is one that helps blacks.
Which does exist in the U.S. Congress now.
It's been brought up, whether it will go anywhere or not. It was brought up by, I forget who, Sheila Jackson, I think, is the representative who brought it up. So whether it will go anywhere or not is another question. But Native Americans aren't even considered in that mix. And yet, from the standpoint of mistreatment of people who are suffering today, I agree with Cindy that there are more Native Americans suffering than there are black people. Black people aren't herded into reservations, but they are largely living in ghettos in major cities, in areas that have poverty in them and extremely bad conditions.
I don't know about largely, but there are still pockets of that that still exist. Right. There's still an opportunity gap. There's no doubt about that. All right. Well, let's take a quick break to stay on schedule.
But what constitutes just one thing? What constitutes the solution to the problem? Is it reparations or what is it? I don't necessarily think it's another problem where I don't think throwing money at it's going to make the difference.
All right. 1-800-795-9565. And just leaving it to the government, guess what?
Well, that's no...
just leaving it to the borough councils of the world, that won't do it. Although that would be helpful in some communities. All right, 1-800-795-9565. Strangely enough, no calls on this topic. So we're talking, we're taking this as far back as we possibly can in the process. Should we even have a conversation about reparations when it comes to Native Americans or African Americans? 1-800-795-9565. The premise I've identified simply, Lawrence's worthless premise, is that it has to be an individual class of people for whom the equal opportunity still does not exist. 1-800-795-9565 is our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line. If the answer is yes, what should we do? All right.
Long-delayed atonement?
Hitting the phone lines. Where do we start? Paul, we are talking reparations, and should we start the conversation? What say you?
Well, Cindy brought out a point, and I thought it would be worth mentioning, that when I was in North Dakota, we talked about the Little Bighorn. And the only reason that Custard got killed at the Little Bighorn is he was trying to give the land back to the Indians. And the Indian says, we don't want it. You guys can have it.
Oh, so, gotcha. Okay. I see.
Yeah.
I think you meant Custer, not Custard.
Well, I'm not talking about the ice cream now.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Okay, we got you. All right, thank
Custard's
you, Paul.
Custard's last stand is not in North Dakota.
Greg, you're on the mark. Go right ahead. We're talking reparations.
Yeah, well, since the Democrats seem to have such a great idea with the new Green Deal to eliminate fossil fuels and reshape this country on a socialist basis, let's just make another point of the new Green Deal platform. And then we'll take and allow the countries that were originally the ships bringing slaves to the United States before the U.S. was the U.S. to pay for it. Because you know what? We're not going to have the new Green Deal because we can't afford it. And where are we supposed to get the money for reparations? Are they going to tax us with another tax and then throw it back through the government, you know, for their ill-advised spending plans and efficiencies to take and pay for reparations? There's just not even anybody left who was a slave or responsible for bringing them here. Why do we all of a sudden have to feel that we owe people for transgressions of past generations? You're supposed to live and learn. That's my feeling. We can't afford it. It's just like everything else the radical left wants to do, socialize us and give us, you know. What about the fact that they're saying the $15 minimum wage is $32,000 a year is what you're supposed to be able to live on, yet people on Social Security and retired are supposed to live on one-third of that? Let's bring their standard of living up, and while we're at it, give them the two-thirds they're due if you're going to pay McDonald's workers $15 an hour. So it's a big circle of monopoly money on it, and there's not enough to go around, and you just keep throwing these ideas out there, and I haven't heard a single person figure out a way that the Democrats can take and pay for everything that they want to do, which, again, is bigger government and costing us more money. That's my opinion.
Oh, nice one. All right. Thank you so much, Greg. Really appreciate it. Lance, next up on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Okay. Well, when we start talking about paying for reparations, how about the people whose ancestors fought on the North in the Civil War and died trying to emancipate the slaves? Our family, that way, although we didn't die directly in battle, those camps were so wrought with tuberculosis that that's what he caught. And after fighting at the age of 16, came home and at 23 died from it. Now, it just seems odd that folks whose families have given their lives for the cause, you know, should have to bear the... I think they've already paid.
Well, that's certainly noteworthy, and we appreciate the heroic efforts of all U.S. soldiers over the generations and the centuries. But this is another question that comes up. Is there anyone today who is African-American who still suffers from any of the vestiges of slavery or any ongoing discrimination or racism that can be tied to this, well, you know, this slavery?
Lance brings up a good point. The North didn't enslave people. The South did. So if reparations are due, shouldn't the South
They're
be the ones
the
to pay them?
Right. The North has already paid. All right. Noted. Thank you so much. Same with African or same with Native Americans. Let's suppose we have a conversation about reparations for Native Americans. That's just a South, or is that a North and South topic?
Well, if you read Ben Carson's books, the big problem in the cities are the gangs and the people who want to make whitey pay by being a thorn in their side.
Okay. So we'll take it as a no. Okay. We'll note it. All right. Thank you so much, Lance. We'll take more comers.
Going back to Native Americans, there's an interesting story in The Guardian. I don't see the date of it, but you can probably find it. And it says most Native Americans live in cities, not reservations. So, I mean, the point that I was trying to make is that they do have an opportunity to go from where their bad circumstances are and live somewhere else. Now, some of them choose not to, and the story points out that that's because of their heritage and their tradition, and they choose to try to preserve that. But they do have the right to assimilate into society as a whole if they wish.
Okay, so it's okay to starve them out because they choose to stay.
No, it's not okay to starve them out.
All right. 1-800-795-9565 is the Open Hometown Pharmacy toll-free line.
Anyway, Margaret says, go, Cindy. I'm also impressed with her patience with Joe. I would have hung up on him sooner.
Okay.
That's right. You disagree with somebody, hang up on him. Don't discuss it with him.
Okay? Well, there's only so much irritation people can take. All right.
I can take a lot. I don't mind.
Right.
You irritate me most days,
right,
but I don't hang up on you.
On the topic of Sheila Jackson Lee.
Right. Jackson Lee needs to look at her own party before seeking reparations for anyone. The Dems are responsible for the majority of the ills in the black community.
OK. Okay.
You believe that?
Well, let's suppose. Okay, let's stipulate that it's true. Are they not Americans? Should we not? Should this group of Americans called Democrats not take better care of individuals who are these Americans, who are African Americans or Native Americans? Stan may be right, and he obviously has evidence to that end, so that's fine. So should not this group of Americans take better care of a group of Americans that may not have the same opportunities they do?
Okay.
I'm just
circular
saying.
Logic.
Okay. Well, let's suppose, I mean, Lance called in and said, well, it's the South that should pay the reparations. All right, that's fine. And if we're talking African Americans, well, then, okay, so now we're down to just Democrats and just individuals in the South. Can we continue to whittle it down further, you know, as to which group of Americans are really responsible for this?
Well, and then the people in the South who didn't have ancestors who were here in this country during the Civil War, they were before, probably shouldn't be required to pay.
Well, and maybe the mission of reparation shouldn't be to penalize individuals responsible for it. Maybe it should glue us all together as Americans to recognize that we don't have equal opportunity for everybody. It's in our Constitution. It's in our documents, but we still don't actually offer
it. Well, we have a lot of laws how do you mean we don't offer it? We have laws that if someone is discriminated against, they can file a claim. They will be heard. It can go all the way
to
the Supreme Court.
Should they hire an attorney, too? Now, remember, you can't afford one. No one's going to appoint a lawyer because...
Well, what about your great American Civil Liberties Union? Don't they do this kind of thing all the time, Mark?
I'm going to hang up on you next.
Right, I'm sure you will.
Read this one if you don't
okay.
mind.
Okay, MB says, being the youngest of the youngest son in a long family living in this area, my great-great-grandfather, Grandfather John Wagner, died fighting for the North against slavery. I will take the responsibility of my family and all the descendants who never were born, and please send my check directly to me, made payable to cash.
Okay. Well, and perfect note, Mike. I really appreciate it. But I think what we really have to consider here is maybe we're not seeking out whose was truly responsible, because we can, you know, does it have to be a direct descendant of somebody who supported slavery in order to be responsible today? Why don't we just say we as a nation, as a whole, still have pockets of individual who we don't hold as worthy of the same kind of opportunity or support or health care or education? Isn't that just inherently wrong as a human? Skip us as Americans, skip that. Just as a human, you should say, do we have to examine the fact that everybody cannot pull themselves up by the bootstraps here, or that some individuals' heritage is so strong, in the case of Native Americans, that we isolated them to this pocket and say, there, you can enjoy your Native American heritage. Unfortunately, you cannot live with the same standard as the rest of us.
Why can't anybody pull themselves up by the bootstraps? Is it mental instability or mental problems? Is it family problems? We have programs. I mean, we spend billions of dollars on programs to try to improve people's lives in this country. We offer them subsidies if they can't afford things. We offer them free education if they qualify. You know, we have all of these programs in place and we're still not solving the problem, then can the problem ever be solved? Is it human initiative or human responsibility that's failing, or is it the government that's failing to provide enough resources for people to make it?
I don't know.
Is it even the government's obligation to provide you with resources so you can succeed? What do we do? Look at you and say, well, Mark Lawrence, you're 35 years old and you failed. We're going to put you into a government program to help you succeed.
Well, Joe, I hate to tell you this, but government can't solve everything. So we should not create the U.S. Government Reparations Department, give them a couple to $2-3 billion.
Well, now you're sounding like a reasonable human being.
And say, fix this. Right. It's going to be society, as George H.W. Bush wisely said. It's going to be 1,000 points of light are going to illuminate this problem, not the U.S. government. All right, we'll take more comers. We got a text, we got an email on the topic. Should we examine the issue of reparations and for whom? Call us now, 1-800-795-9565. Cindy, if you can breathe again, call us back, 1-800-795-9565.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC Way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Joe, we're going to have this argument on the radio. We just solved all known diseases and cured, fed the poor off mic. If we could have just done it on the air, we'd have a lot of this resolved. But we'll take more comers. We've got room for one more call. 1-800-795-9564. 1-800-795-9565. One more other than the call that's waiting, I should say. We'll take Bob's call. He was kind enough to call in. Good morning, sir. You're on the mark.
Oh, good morning. I was listening to your take on reparations about Southern Democrats. Well, actually, the Northern Democrats were just as guilty as the Southern Democrats. The Northern Democrats fought against the Civil War. And if reparations are to be made, then I think the whole Democratic Party and anybody that's registered Democrat should be the ones that make the payment.
Well, it's more than just payments, though. It's something that would somehow level the playing field. And again, you know, we don't even know the right question to ask precisely now. The first question we have to ask is, in any way, in any manner, for anybody, is some form of reparation or you know,
apology or compensation,
right,
is the way Representative
there
Jackson
you go. Thank
approached
you.
It.
Is that even appropriate? That her bill states that it is, you know, because it is. That's the way you do a bill, is you come up with a premise and you solve it. But we can't even get past the phase. Does anybody deserve it? Because we keep going back into history to the 1860s. You know, where the Democrats, and it was the South, and the North has already paid. So you know,
but that's why they're claiming, they're claiming that it stems from that period of time that they deserve the reparations.
And in many cases, typically, that's the way reparations work. But that won't work for African Americans today, and it won't work for Native Americans. You can't use that. So, all right. Thank you so much, Bob. Good question. Well said. We appreciate it. The email, if you don't mind, Joe.
Dave on the Hill says, my great-grandfather never owned anybody, yet he served in the Union Army in the war that ended slavery. He made the payment for reparations. End of story.
Right. So a generation ago, it was all done. But no more help is necessary. He did that, and that took care of it. And Dave doesn't have to pay anymore.
I think if you consider reparations, whether it's for Native Americans or whether it's for Black African Americans or Black people, however you want to characterize these folks, or the people that we're talking about here who are in need of reparations, then you have to ask how much money, where it's going to come from. Should it come from all the taxpayers of the United States, many of whom had nothing to do with it?
Joe, what if it isn't money?
What would it be? That's what I said before. We have put in place all these social programs to help people, and theoretically, we don't have an unbalanced playing field to this day, do we?
Nope, we got a lot to do. Joe, the text, and then I got to do a...
Okay. Yes, the Dems should take better care of the areas under their control. Why don't they?
All right. Excellent question. The Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line is now lit. There's the last caller of the day standing by. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg, and the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop. They want you to know something, that when you do business locally, every dollar you spend locally gets spent locally 10 times over. That means you support them, those employees and staff and owners take that dollar, they go to the other business in Mount Pleasant Mills, and they cater to that business, and those employees and owners go to the next business in and around Mount Pleasant Mills. Somebody eventually drives to Selinsgrove Grove and spend it, but hopefully it'll be at a hometown business in downtown Selinsgrove. Trutz Pharmacy on Walnut Street in Mifflinburg, they do the same thing. They spend one of those dollars up at the Scarlet D, and the people at the Scarlet D go down the street to the funeral home when necessary, and hopefully not a direct connection there. Nori Pharmacy does the same thing.
What a tangled web you're weaving.
Nori Pharmacy takes that dollar up to R&B Enterprises, and they take that dollar to the Kratzer Amoco that's there, and they take that dollar up to Heff and Biebs and get some ice cream. So Jennifer at the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, they take that dollar, and they go up the street to Steph Subs, and then they go down the street to the tattoo
dollar,
shop.
If I give you a dollar, will you stop? Okay. We have a caller pending.
Lewisburg Pharmacy, 2nd Street in Lewisburg. They do the same thing in beautiful downtown Lewisburg. They go to Champion Shoes and Kohl's Hardware, all in the same neighborhood. You get it. You get it now. Take that dollar to the CVS or take it to Walmart, and they ship it to China. Why not have it rattled around in your neighborhood? Patronize your hometown pharmacy, Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Trutz Pharmacy, Nori Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Lewisburg Pharmacy. All right. I'll take that dollar, please.
All right.
I'll stop. Cynthia, you are going to officially get the last minute here, the last word in the last minute.
Oh, well, thank you, Mark and Joe. I appreciate what you're doing here. I have some statistics about, or some information, rather, about back in World War II. There was a young Army lieutenant named Jack Roosevelt Robinson, known as Jackie Robinson. And he boarded a military bus at Fort Hood, Texas, and was told to sit in the back. And he refused, and later he faced a court-martial, but he was acquitted. I'm glad. I'm glad. Also, during World War II,
okay, you got 30 seconds left. Go right ahead.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. Okay, well, then I'll forget about that. I'm just saying, each day is a new day. I wasn't responsible, neither were you, for what was done way back when. It is who we think of, what we think of God and how God is in our lives. Then we go out and we treat other people the way God wants us to treat other people, not the way that we think other people have in the past. Just
all right.
Treat other people.
It's a new day. I love it. Thank you so much.
If you have more to say, call back tomorrow when we start this all over again, Cynthia.
All right. Yeah, very much appreciate it. Thank you. Yes, it's an excellent point. And thank you, Joe. We'll see you tomorrow.
I'll be here.
We'll pick up where we left up. So we'll wrap up the reparations discussion tomorrow on WKOK. Stan, get your thumbs warmed up at 8:30 in the morning. Cindy will be able to breathe again. She'll call back, too. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.